All right, two more calls on this. Jerry Bader Show, 1035. Federal Judge Barbara Crabb, Wisconsin Federal Judge, ruled Friday that, yeah, Freedom From Religion Foundation has it right, that it's an unfair advantage to the rest of us for clergy to be tax-exempt for the portion of their income that the parish, congregation, whatever, deems as their living expense. So if they make $50,000 a year, the way the law works, you could say $20,000 of it is living expense, and then they're not taxed on that income. But they could still deduct mortgage interest and property taxes. So was this an attack on religion, or was this the right call? Jeff in Green Bay. Jeff, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Thanks for taking my call, Jerry. I'm looking at the source of the revenue. Parishioners are, the congregation is making the donation to the church. That then provides funding for the salary and housing and expenses for the pastor or the clergy. And that's tax deductible for the parishioners. Now, if we're going to then tax the benefit to the clergy, then more money is needed to be taken out of the church coffer to pay for it. Again, then that source comes from donations, which are tax deductible. So that amount of tax deduction for that congregation would be going up as far as the federal government allowing tax deductions on that money being donated.
Well, okay, but I guess you kind of answered my question. Those donations were already tax deductible. So is it fair then for the pastor, for he or she or a priest to be exempt from it if it's already tax deduct, the donation that paid that clergy was already tax deductible?
But he'll need more money then in order to provide that housing for him to be in the location nearby to provide the services for the congregation, which means more money would have to be donated, or more money for the, that's if it's a static amount.
I see what you're saying.
You probably just readjust your budget, but still, we'd need more money for the budget, which then is tax deductable, so the government's going to lose out on it. They're taxing something that's already
given. So what you're saying is they're just, if you'll pardon the biblical expression, robbing Peter to pay Paul here.
Because, in a way.
Yeah, because now the parishioners are going to have to give more. That's assuming they do give more. But that is an interesting argument. Last call on this, Julie in Sheboygan. Julie, go ahead.
Well, I feel that the church is a business. I mean, the church itself is run like a business, and I think that they should pay taxes like any other business. And as far as the clergy goes, or if anybody's saying that they're not making enough money or whatever, it's like anyone else. If you don't feel like you're making enough, then do something else. I mean, I know it sounds cold, but that's just the reality of life now. I mean, that's just the way people are.
Okay, Julie, thanks a lot for the call. And let me pick up on that. I was going to debate with her, but I really need to get on to other things here. She's saying, well, then they can just go do something else. But this, since 1956, for, 57 years, this has been built into budgets for churches, that they can pay the pastor less because of this. The reality is this is going to be a hardship on churches because it's a hardship on pastors, and pastors may have to go do something else, and then you have to find another pastor if you can afford that pastor, and so on. I do agree with those who say this is both an attack on religion but also the right call, but I agree for different reasons. It's an attack on religion because Freedom From Religion Foundation knows that it's going to hurt churches. This has been built in. Now, just because something is built in over the years doesn't make it right, but it's been built in that churches have been able to build this into their budgeting process. Well, and the number that she's throwing around, 50,000, and she's right, there are mega pastors who made mega bucks. I agree. A lot of pastors don't. And what's happened is that, let's say it's 40,000 a year, and then the living expenses are tax deductible. That's that much less you have to pay the pastor. Freedom From Religion Foundation knows this is going to really hurt churches. And Annie Laurie Gaylor is right. This is a big deal. This is going to really hurt churches because it's suddenly going to dramatically decrease the income of pastors. No question about that. It is hard to argue, however, that this ever should have been put there in the first place. But this is where it gets interesting. And this is what we'll see what happens on appeal. Here's what Crabb said. Provides a benefit to religious persons and no one else, even though doing so is not necessary to alleviate a special burden on religious exercise. It might be now because of the creation of this law. And 57 years in existence, churches have built this in, and now taking it away could, in effect, become a hardship. But is that a reason to keep it? I think it's kind of hard to defend this law. But because this law has been there for so long, this is going to really, really, really hurt churches. Now, it really isn't separation of church and state, because that doesn't say that churches can't ever be taxed on anything, you know, in terms of employer. Okay, because could you say the same thing? We're not talking about real estate taxes here. We're talking about not taxes the church pays, but a church employee pays. So would the same thing qualify for the church secretary? That's where the separation of church and state, I don't think, really comes into play here. Clearly, this is an attack, and this is what I was waiting for a listener to say, because it was so devastating. This is going to be devastating to churches. There's no doubt about that. Speaking of attacks, something interesting happened yesterday. President Obama was heckled. That is not news. President Obama's been heckled. He's being heckled more and more lately. And he's often heckled. There are a couple of things that are very interesting about this story. He was speaking in San Francisco on immigration when he was heckled. I'm going to have Jason play the audio, and then I'll tell you what's so interesting about this. Go ahead.
Most importantly, we will live up to our character as a nation. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Every single day.
That's why we're here.
President, please use your executive order to halt deportation for all 11.5 undocumented immigrants in this country right now.
We agree
that we need to pass immigration reform. At the same time, you have a power to stop deportation for all undocumented.
Actually, I don't. And that's why we're here.
I need your help.
Okay.
Stop deportation.
Thank you. All right. What I'd like to do, no, don't worry about it, guys. Okay, let me finish. Let me, how about, these guys don't need to go. Let me finish. No. He can stay there.
Now, what he was referring to there is security was going to haul them out. It started with the one man and then other protesters. You know what's interesting about this? They were handpicked as part of his backdrop. That's what's really interesting about this. Here's how the New York Times reported it. President Obama is often heckled, but it is rare for a guest who is part of a White House-approved backdrop to shout out a protest while the president is in mid-speech. But that is what happened here, San Francisco, on Monday, when Mr. Obama called on Congress to pass an overhaul of the nation's immigration laws. And understanding the optics, I mean, he knew that this was an invited guest. He knew that this person was a human prop. Can you imagine if he had let Secret Service or security haul their butts out of there? He understood the optics of that. He got that. Now, here's what's interesting. Here's what the guy shouted out. Use your executive order to stop the deportations. The president said, well, I can't do that. Really? Since when? Since when can't he use an executive order, executive fiat, to circumvent congressional legislative action? Since when? And where do you suppose this poor sap got the fool idea that the president could wave a magic wand and change? He goes, I can't just change duly passed laws. I repeat, since when? How many times has he done it with Obamacare? That's different, Jason says, because Why? Well, because it's different. Because, actually, I'm going to be honest with you. Now, I got to thinking about this. Now, by the way, he has changed immigration law with the wave of his magic executive order wand. He has done that. Jason says because it's his and immigration is just a thorn in his side. But he has tweaked it previously. And by the way, and now this is interesting. The Obama administration has been far more aggressive on deportations than the Bush administration. That's a reality. This is why this guy flipped out. It's not just that he could stop it, but that he's been even more aggressive. And nobody's really sure why. But why is it, and it's amazing that he said, okay, he said, no, I can't do that. That's why we're here. As the event's organizers tried to remove the man, Mr. Obama signaled no, and the others who started chanting with him. I respect the passion of these young people because they feel deeply about the concerns for their families, he said. But he continued, listen to this. Listen to this. He continued, the United States is a nation of laws, and it is simply not a matter of us just saying we're going to violate the law. I have to say it one more time. Since when? This has been the hallmark of his second term thus far. How many times has he arbitrarily changed Obamacare? And where the hell are Republicans now? Are you going to call him on this hypocrisy? Well, excuse me, but as a matter of fact, you change laws at the drop of a hat. What do you mean you can't change this one? Of course you could. Well, not really, but I mean you violated the Constitution in doing it with other laws. Why can't you do it with this one? Him saying that we're a nation of laws and we're not going to violate the law is like a former hooker who won't sleep with someone on a first date. Well, no, because I don't know you very well. And oh, she's changed her ways. She's changed her ways. Here's the problem, though. He's not claiming he's changed his ways. He's saying, well, that's something we couldn't do. Ever. It's just another lie. And this is why he is fading in the polls. People recognize now that he just simply lies all the time. Speaking of lies and misrepresentations about Obama, let's shift to Obamacare and the bomb in that thing that's about to go off. And more and more and more and more people are noticing it. I'll tell you in 3 minutes, 10:48.
The Jerry Bader Show.